There's always like this confusion between brujería and santería.
I was just thinking the same thing because I feel like sometimes I also get santería confused with brujería.
Yeah, and they are not the same thing, but they were terms that would be used back and forth. So it'd be like, yo, like, I got a practicing. They get someone who practice santería to speak to the spirits, but they would call it brujería. So I guess there's a relationship that I had with it before this. If you're wondering what the difference is, santería is more known from. There's this book that's called Witchcraft and Welfare: Spiritual Capital and Business Magic in Modern Puerto Rico. That's actually kind of funny.
That's fucked up.
Brujería might have started in the 1500s in the Archbishops of Santo Domingo and Fifth Bishop of Puerto Rico, and it revealed the existence of black brujos, male or female, who engage with the devil in the shape of a goat. And every night in front of the goat, they would curse God, Santa Maria, and the sacrament of Holy Church. That book also notes that this included elements of African worship, asserting that they did not have nor believed in a God other than the devil. So brujería is the exact version of the Spanish version of witchcraft. It does not have a huge hierarchical order like Catholicism or Christianity, Buddhism, etc. Brujos and brujas are independent and they do rituals to speak with doctrines or with their like beings. They can either be white brujas or black brujas, white or black evil, like good or evil magic. And they'll have like altars, summoning ancient either spirits or demons. So that's specifically like what I'm finding for brujería in bilatina.com. Well, santería, this is where we get into our topic, is it originates in Cuba from the 16th to the 19th century. And this is coming from the high population of African descent in the island. It's also sometimes considered an exclusive Cuban tradition. And Santería itself is a religion.
Yes,
This
it is.
religion spread through Venezuela, Mexico, and the United States. And even though Santería is its most popular name, it also has names such as Regla de Ocha, Regla de Lucumi, or Lucumi to refer to the practice.
I was about to ask you, like, what is Lukumi? Like, is Lukumi like another word for like?
I'll tell you right now. So when it comes to terms, La Regla de Ocha, the order of the Orichas, or the religion of Lucumi, it means the order of Lucumi. So it refers to like the spirit of Lucumi. So the part the what they're following.
Okay.
This is so interesting. So it says the term Ocha is for Oricha, which is deities from its religion. One of the most prominent Oricha is Santería Elegua. Considered the guardian of the crossroads and the thresholds, Elegua is known for being the messenger between the humans and the deities. Almost every ceremony starts by requesting his permission to continue to speak to the dead. Along Elegua, Orishas Ogun, Ochosi, and Osun are considered the warrior deities. So, this religion has a lot of prominent female orichas. One of them is very well known as Yemaha, a goddess associated with maternity, fertility, and the sea. Within the female divinities, in Santería, we have Ochun, Oya, Chango, or Chango, Obatala, Babalu, Aye, and Orula. Similar to Catholicism, in Santería, it is believed that each person is born with an assigned angel or archangel. The Santeria practitioners also believe that each person is born to a particular oricha. This oricha, whether female or male, is believed to have a lot of influence on your personality and individual of the individual. So you, in Santeria, what you do is you ask for protection of your orichas or your guardian angels in the sense, by making offerings, sponsoring ceremonies, and by communicating with them through divinations, prayers, dreams, music, and dance. Once they receive the messages through these activities, the santeras or santeras use the information to make decisions about their job, residence, or behavior. All these rituals are carried out in la casa del templo, or the house of worship, la casa de los santos, the house of saints, or the la casa de religión, the house of religion. Each of the terms is different. These houses are usually the personal home of a santero or santera, and each room of the house is dedicated to a different ritual or rite. Some areas are private, while others are in the patio, using for public occasion, including animal sacrifices. That would be a public event. Charms and amulets are also important in Santeria. The resguardo, protective charms, is created using herbs and blood, as well as sacred stones. As in brujería, Santeria practitioners are often faced with opposition, especially from Catholic organizations. The head of the Roman Catholic Church in Cuba, Cardinal Jaime Lucas Ortega y Alamino, openly opposes the practice. Similarly, swindlers abound in this religion, and many santeros and santeras have been accused of exploiting others financially. And that article was written by Shirley Gomez from BeLatina.com. That was a really good article. Let me get a little bit more into the history of the practices of Santeria. But what are your thoughts so far?
It's a lot, bro. That's a lot. Like just it doesn't seem like, all right, so in, with other religions that I've experienced, like there's only a singular God or a singular like thing that you praise and communicate with, but it seems like they're communicating with multiple things, you know, multiple guardian angels, multiple, you know, like archangels and things like that. Mm-hmm. And I think what I found interesting was like the virtual aspect of it, like where you're having like an actual ceremony to communicate with them, mm-hmm. and showing that praise. And I feel like Christianity and other religions they're not really like that, not even at all, not even close to that. It's interesting. It almost reminds me of like old ancient Mayan like ceremonies and how they would communicate with the gods.
That's an interesting perspective.
How do you feel about it? Like, what do you think?
You have to remember that these were traditions that were brought by the African slaves. So when you think of that historical context on that, is like that was their original religion. And then there was Catholicism forced into their culture. Mm-hmm. So I just think it's interesting how they took the Catholic structure, but with the beliefs of their entities.
They restructured how they kind of not how they worship, but they kind of restructured it a little bit. It makes sense.
I'm like, wait, I'm finishing a bagel.
I ain't gonna lie, that it looked like a chicken bone. I'm like, why is Carla munching on the chicken bone right now?
It's like 8 in the morning.
Because it's too early for that. I know the episode's about Santeria, but you can chill.
Thanks. As mentioned, super interesting. These days, it's far more prevalent in Cuba, Catholicism on the island, as in eight Catholics for one Santero. But the faith has spread to other countries, including the U.S. So it has, Santeria has become well known to an extent.
I feel like the internet kind of being a conduit for information to spread has probably made it, you know,
too accessible. Maybe I think it's also really important to understand and respect other people's like religions. I know that like I follow a couple of if you're on TikTok, you know, Witch Talk. I don't practice anything in particular, but I do like to see like the tarot, and like I always think it's kind of funny. And there's this specific person that I follow that I follow him because he talks about horoscopes, but he also is a active voodoo practitioner. And so half of his page is just telling people to not get into voodoo, because that's not a game. Voodoo is a religion in which you piss off deities that you're summoning, and like these are deities that you don't understand. So I guess I want to put a disclaimer out there that if this isn't your religion or something you believe in, like, don't disrespect other cultures or other religions by trying to summon things that you don't understand. Like, do your due diligence, do your research, speak with people who are on that religion. Like, don't just be like, I'm gonna kill a chicken so I can
like summon some sort of monster or whatever.
Yeah, like that's I think that's really disrespectful. So it's just like, don't.
I feel like the internet has equipped people with information, but there's sometimes a lot of context missing, mm-hmm. in like real historical context. And it's like, when you're looking into shit like that, especially like if you're trying to find yourself like on a spiritual level, you should also seek out people that are practitioners, mm-hmm. and that have a strong foundation in what you're looking at, you know?
Yeah, and that's really important. You need that guide into, if that's something that you want to practice, like do your due diligence,
like,
and like
if it's Santeria, voodoo, or if maybe even if it's like yoga, because yoga to a certain extent, you need gurus and guides that can help you, like, you know, meditate to certain plateaus or to the certain levels. So anything that involves spirits, you definitely want to, you know, not piss them off, but also just, you know, don't disrespect that religion, that culture, that practice, because it's more than what you can read on the internet, you know, it's deeper than that.
Like, it's not like, oh, you're pissed at your accent, I'm gonna like get a santo to like I don't know, fucking curse them or whatever. Like, that's not how that works. There's a price to everything, whether you know it or not, especially when you're working with spirits. I can't hear you. Nope.
Can't hear me.
There we go.
Hear me now?
Yes.
I bet the connection's acting up.
Yeah. I guess it's just like a disclaimer of like, don't be disrespectful, and like, don't fuck with things that you don't understand. If you don't understand it, if you didn't grow up in this religion, like, don't be like, Jeremy broke my heart.
Because you know what? I'm going to make Jeremy fall madly in love with me, and I'm just going to ignore him forever.
Exactly.
All he can think about is me from now on. Bro, yo, this is funny, right? It's not funny, because I don't want to say it. I don't want to disrespect my friend. But like back in like college, right?
Mm-hmm.
Early on, I had a friend, and she was madly in love with this kid that lived in the Dominican Republic.
Mm-hmm.
So her mother, I believe it was her mother, she dabbled in like brujeria and things of that nature. And one day we're in the computer lab, I'll never forget this shit, and she's siphoning through her backpack, and she whips out this like little plastic baggie. And it's like it's a bag with a piece of paper in it. There's a name written on it.
Okay.
Like, hello? And then inside of the bag, there's like some herbs, and it's also like kind of sealed in with honey. And when she explained it to me, she's like, oh no, this is like a little thing that they do out there in DR. like when you're in love with somebody, and you write their name, the honey, blah, 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 it makes them think more about you, and it draws them in closer to you. And mind you, this is somebody that was like probably 19, 20. I'm just like, yo, you that doing stuff like that? Like, you believe in that? And she's like, yeah. And without batting an eye, and I was just like, yo. That was like that was one of my first like experiences with somebody in my age group, like practicing something like that. I found it interesting. Like my mother has always done little weird things, but it was weird.
But did it work though?
You know what? To this day, I don't know. I think it did. It might have just been a coincidence, because I'm also a believer in the law of attraction. Like, the more you think about something, the more you seek it out.
You're trying to attract it, yeah.
You're gonna attract it. So maybe it did, maybe it didn't. That was one of those moments that I vividly remember where I'm like, yo, you practicing like some sort of santeria or like brujeria.
I don't
know what category that falls under.
I'm a scaredy cat when it comes to that kind of stuff. I see it all similar to a Ouija board. It's like,
yo, bro,
when you call to the spirits for help, there's a price.
Yes.
Or you don't know how to do it right, or like, I don't know.
That's the thing, though, is you have to understand how to communicate with those spirits.
Which is why there's people specifically that have done this all their lives, and that's their religion, and that's their way of life. Like, these people have lived all their lives practicing this, and then, like, Jenny, who's 17, thinks she can, like, do it better than a santero, like, no.
Jenny found a book at the thrift store that said, brujos or brujeria for dummies, and now she's like,
I'm dead. And now she's a professional. Yeah. But yeah, it's traced to Lukumi religion, which was practiced on the Yoruba tribes on modern day Benin and Nigeria. And these were slaves from West America, West Africa, which were important to Cuba in the 17th century. So they brought their traditions with them, but they were banned from practicing their own religion. So they disguised their gods in Catholic figures so they could pray to them as they pleased. In Santeria, the name means way of the saints. Catholic saints represent Yoruba divine beings known as Orishas. So that's actually, I've heard that before from, like, I think it was Jewish people.
Really?
During World War II, they would put their statues inside of because, you know, like they weren't allowed to, like, practice their religion, and like because of Germany and like the whole World War II.
Mm-hmm.
When it started, like, they were being denied of, like, practicing their own religion, so they would put the statues of what they believed in inside of the normal religion. You're not praising to the Catholic saints, you're praising to your what you believe in. And
exactly.
I think it's really interesting. Currently, I'm studying higher education and how it came to be here in the United States. And a lot of the education background in this country is based on religion, and it's based on teaching people how to read so they could read the Bible.
That shit is crazy to me.
Teaching them how to read and write so they could teach other people how to spread Catholicism throughout the country. And then, like, somewhere along the line, they were like, religion isn't cool, let's do science. And then that's where schools came from. the way that all of this is connected is just crazy.
It's bugged out. Like, when you first gave me that, because I had no idea how deeply, how intertwined religion and school were until you, like, brought that up to me.
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that shit was so mind-blowing to me. It's like the sole purpose of school was to teach you how to spread religion initially. That's like, what? Huh? That shit's just crazy to me. And then over time, how it starts to develop and change is also dope. Are you still there? I can't even
see. Yeah, I'm here. I'm listening to you. Okay.
I don't want to ramble too much. I know how I get. So I'm just keeping my comments short and sweet.
Gotcha. So for centuries, so we're talking about, it was like in the 1600s, 1700s, this has been, This has been practiced for hundreds of years. So it says that for years, this was practiced in secret, which is, and it survived orally from generation to another. So it was like a family secret in a sense.
You pass those things down. Those are things that are held like close, you know?
Mm-hmm. After the revolution, Santeria was openly acknowledged, but was criticized by the government as being folksly witchcraft, which, as we mentioned before, Santeria and witchcraft are completely separate things. Santeria is praising your saints. Brujeria is actually contacting demons and spirits for favors. In Santeria, you're praising these deities. They're different things.
No, of course, but, of course. One is you dealing more with like the underworld. The other one's more like, okay, I have a deity for love. I have a deity for wealth.
Who protects me? Yeah.
And all these different deities, I have to please in different ways. That's why they have all these different little rituals. Or there's certain herbs that you'll burn to appease this deity in regards to that one.
Mm-hmm. And so, I think it's really interesting because, as I mentioned before, it to survive all these years, it had to be practiced in secrecy. So because not many people knew about Santeria because it was hidden, mm-hmm. It was automatically like, oh, you're doing witchcraft. And it's like, no, this isn't witchcraft, but you don't know of my practices because we've had to practice it in secret.
In secrecy, yeah.
So you're going to assume stuff that you don't know about. And so in the 1980s, there was a resurgence of interest in Santeria, and today enjoys a widespread appeal through much of Cuba. It's estimated that at least 80% of Cuban populations follow the Santeria practices to some extent. Fidel Castro is even rumored to be a believer, that may be part in due to an auspicious event that happened to during his victory speech in January 8th of 1959. While Fidel was addressing the crowds, two doves flew over the podium and one of them landed on his shoulder. Doves are symbols of Ovatala, the son of God in Santeria. Not surprisingly, many people took this as a sign that God wanted Fidel to leave Cuba. The combining of concepts and terminology from different religions, in this case from Catholicism and the Lukumi religion, is called religion syncretism. So in the minds of many Cubans, the two religions paralleled one another rather than existing as a unified religion. They also don't see contradictions between the two faiths. So Catholicism and Santeria both go together. If one isn't opposed to the other, you can practice both. Like, they both go hand in hand.
They both work in unison, huh?
Yeah.
That's weird, because like, whenever there's certain people that in the Catholic religion will denounce Santeria. Mm-hmm. At least people that I've
because met, they think it's witchcraft.
Damn, the shit is, I don't know how the church treats Santeria. Like, I'm pretty sure they also denounce it too.
Yeah, they denounce anything that's not Catholic.
Yeah, exactly. But I wonder if you were to speak to like somebody within the religion, somebody that's like quote unquote higher.
That practice both.
Or that practice both, like how they would explain that, how they would break that down.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just rambling. It's just a thought though, because I'm like, huh. Like they're in the same vein, but within that vein you have people that'll denounce it or people that'll actually, you know, like, no, yeah, that's valid.
Yeah, no, I see what you're saying. Okay, and then practitioners attend Catholic Mass and even baptize their children while also practicing a form of Lukumi in their home. In the house of the Santero, you might find statues of Catholic saints along with Orisha symbols. And so in regards to the beliefs, basically they have their own little like universe of deities similar to the ancient Greek gods. You know how in the ancient Greek gods, every Greek god represents something, and that's why they're being praised. Well, the same thing with the Orishas. You have like the goddess of fertility, like the god of agriculture. And so you make offerings, so you're in good standing with those gods or those deities or saints.
Yo, hold up, my devices.
They're more of considered as miracles adherents and can also be blamed for unfortunate events. So it's like, I didn't appease this deity, therefore that is the reason for my bad luck. And you have to appease it to be in harmony and balance with the spiritual world, which is the followers can't communicate with a deity. So you go to a santero who speaks to these deities and act as intermediaries in the religion. They interpret the will of the gods in divination, which also can be elaborated in ceremonies, enough to include rum, drugs, cigar, and animal sacrifice. So the religion with the santeros is also beneficial to the orishas. They only continue to exist if humans worship them. The orishas are thus not immortal, but depend on human devotion and sacrifice to survive. So if you stroll through Cuba, you'll occasionally come across with people wearing all white clothing. Chances are these people are going through their Santeria initiation. People of all ages can choose to follow Santeria with initiation process that sets the follow the La Regla de Ocho. The initiation are ritualistic and involve elaborate ceremonies. Followers are required to stay inside at night for an entire year and only dress in white. No one is allowed to touch the follower aside from family members or lovers. Every follower is assigned to an orisha who will guide them, who will guide him or her through life. And there are around 400 orishas, but only 20 are regularly worshipped in Cuba. There are Ochun, who wears yellow and is associated with La Virgen de Caridad. And if you visit the El Cobre Cathedral, you'll see the followers sporting yellow clothing and wearing yellow white beads in homage to Ochun. So you'll dress based on the saint that you're worshiping.
That whole initiation process is crazy to me, though. Like, all you wear is white.
Think about it. If you can do it at any age, that just means that for a year, no one can touch your kid, unless your family or a loved one. You can do it to a 6-year-old or a 7-year-old. Be like, they're being initiated.
But they don't even know.
And be like, don't touch me.
They don't even know, though. Like, damn. It's like, as a kid, sometimes you'll be brought into a religion that you don't even... You're not even cognizant of. You don't even fully understand it.
But yeah, you don't understand what you're praising. Yeah, that's true. There's Obatala, the goddess of creation, which is also associated with La Virgen de Merced. Yemaya, that rules the ocean and is associated with La Virgen de la Regla.
Wait. What was that name again? You said Yama?
Yemaya, yeah.
Yemaya. It's funny because I believe in Japanese, the name is like Yumi.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know why, but like I found like, I don't know, like the names kind of sounded similar for some reason.
Well, it makes sense. It makes you think what other countries have similar deities that we just don't know about, like Japanese. Exactly, really. Like, I know nothing of Japanese culture, but I would love to see like how do they overlap and how do they contrast.
It's funny how just you saying that word made me think of another culture. In correlation to like something similar. That's kind of bugged out, bro. Damn. How do you feel about that whole
Oh, I'm not done.
There's more?
So in Regla, a neighborhood on the eastern side of Havana, you often see Santeria shrines in front of homes. A number of babalos live in La Regla. And while here it is possible to have them give you advice for a small fee, you might also visit La Iglesia de Nuestra Señora de Regla, which hosts the Black Virgin de Regla, who is associated with Yemaya, the patron of saint of sailors. Because remember, they did a lot of fishing. The neighboring town of Guanabacoa is also an important center for Santeria. So I just wanted to point out that the fact that like they have shrines outside of their houses for protecting their house and their loved ones. They have shrines inside to a peace and be okay with their saints. It's just so interesting.
That shit is, I'm quiet, but it's just because I'm processing everything. I'm just kind of like,
yeah, it's a lot. It's a lot.
It's like, definitely a lot to take in, and it's a lot to like really think about. Like, yo, there's this whole religion that has all these like little
nuance. I think it's precious because to an extent, it's one of those religions that's still to this day to its purest form because it was practiced in secrecy. So unless exactly. you were part of it, you would know what was happening or how it works or how to do shrine.
The secrecy adds to the purity of it. Yeah. It makes it so it's more
authentic.
It's more authentic. That's the word. Mm-hmm. It's like there's no outside forces coming in and diluting that shit. You feel me? You don't have except for the dweebs that go on the internet, find the information, you know, and then
they think they're experts. No.
Yeah, and they do what they do. But like as far as it like where it's from and the people there, that's probably the purest form of it. And it is because of the secrecy.
I think it's so interesting how like I don't know, like from a perspective where again I'm studying all these really weird pagan religions that inspired higher education. I have this perspective of, well, Europeans came to the United States because they wanted to practice their pagan religions without fear of death because it wasn't a Catholic religion. And we have like in our Caribbeans, like they were practicing that in secrecy, like their religions. And you can see how, I don't know, like, what we believe is really important.
Mm-hmm. Oh shit.
And with the years, I want to say, I this is my personal opinion, but like I've seen there's been a fall in Catholic religion. There's like they have less followers and stuff like that until like the Pope that they have now, because he approves of like gay marriage and like he approves of all this controversial stuff that wasn't believed in before.
The thing is, right, times have changed tremendously, and the one thing that hasn't changed is religion. Religion has kept its like foundation solid, and it's going to get to a point where religion has to catch up with society at some point, because it's like the things that weren't okay in like the 1800s they're not even existent. We don't even think about them anymore.
The tortures, the stuff they used to do. Yeah,
exactly. That's not even the norm. It's like you have to catch up, or people are just gonna find new ways and new things to worship, or they're gonna like, you know, take whatever's there from that foundation and just update it themselves.
Yeah.
So I feel like that's why the Pope has to do things. Like, well, he doesn't have to, but that's how he would want.
But
to
well, if they want to stay relevant, yeah, of course.
If you want to keep your relevancy and still hold that, you know, that sense of, I don't even want to say power, but just, I don't know the right word, but if they just want to still influence. Be relevant or influence, yeah, you kind of have to adapt with the times, because you know everybody else has, every other aspect of life has, so it's like
yeah. I don't know. I highly respect Santeria. I don't fully understand it because obviously I don't practice it, so it's like I don't know what it's about. But I've had conversation with other Latinos who do practice it, and it's like, I don't know, like it's like any other thing. Like they'll have like their beats and I'm like, oh, what's that for? And it's like, oh, for my guardian angel. But yeah, I just thought that was really interesting. There's so much more. Like I didn't even like scratch the surface with like all the deities that there are, and or all the specific areas in the Latino community that actually worship it. For example, in the Cuban Revolution, after the Cuban Revolution in 1959, that's when they started leaving the island, and that's when we start seeing the spread of Santeria in New York, in Miami. And other like Latino communities in the United States.
What year was that?
1959, so in the 60s.
early
60s. Early in the 60s. So damn, now you have me thinking, because that's when that's like a lot of like immigration, like a lot of Puerto Ricans are coming into New York, a lot of Dominicans are coming into New York.
But that this is like with the Cubans too. So
you see
these centers of Latinos where we like give each other, we talk with each other about, we share our beliefs and our cultures with each other.
Exactly. Especially in central hubs like that. And I feel like when you leave that hub and you go back to the motherland, you're taking all that knowledge with you. And you're like,
you know what? Can I tell you something that I find really frustrating? It's like, it's frustrating for history. I have to take, you're gonna tell me I have to take a class in Greek religion, but no one teaches, no one talks about Santeria. Like, why do I have to talk about the Greek gods, but not the Orisha Santeria tradition? Yeah. Why is it okay for Greek gods to be part of history? Like, why is it okay for Greek gods to be part of the acknowledged history in this country, but not Cuban history that's been here since the 60s? Just a thought.
No, but it is
just an education thought.
Because think about it, right? So a lot of these religions really are a derivative of African religion.
Because
most of us are Afro-Latino. So it's like, you know, that's why it's a mixture of things. But like, we never really sit down to talk about the origins of it at all. Like, I don't think I've ever read a history book that had ever really touched upon African religion and how Africans worship. And, you know, like, yeah, you do get a glimpse of that through Egyptians and how Egyptians worship different gods and blah, blah, blah.
But that's another thing is, like, I remember sitting in my classroom, and this was in Puerto Rico. So, like, I think for international history, like when my freshman year of high school, I took, I remember one of the classes was like Roman invasion, and like their religion was the same religion as Greeks, but they changed the names. Egyptian religion, Greek religion, Catholic religion, because we have to talk about it because they were the widespread like movement throughout these European countries. But it's like, there's been a widespread, like, there's a lot of history stuff that's been happening here that we don't talk about.
Oh, nice.
And like, you can see that rage and like when it comes to like the Black Lives Matter movement of like, there are these large events that have happened for LGBTQ plus rights, for Black Lives Matter rights. And we don't talk about them in the classrooms. And like, as someone who studies higher education, like it pisses me off because I wouldn't know of any of this unless I was doing my master's. And does everyone have access to do their master's to actually understand their background and their history? No.
Nope. And sadly, not everybody has access to a computer. Like, I work with kids that are 18 years old that don't have access to a computer.
I don't think I had a computer until I was 18.
Or you know what's sad?
You
know what's sad? Like, the actual thought of like seeking out more information isn't really like championed. It's like people don't, like, yo, you got Google on your phone. People don't even think about that sometimes. Like, oh shit, I can search up this information. But for some reason they don't.
Because it's not encouraged.
And that encouragement
Why should I as a Latina look for my history and find pride on the things that we've gone through and we survived when like I should be learning about George Washington?
No, I agree with you. I'm just playing devil's advocate.
It's just frustrating. It's just like, this is so important, like, for us to understand, like, where these things that we believe in coming from. Like, why do we eat certain foods? Like, there's certain foods that we eat because certain saints appreciate it, like, as part of, like, offerings to saints.
Mm-hmm.
I knew there would be certain santeros that would eat specific foods because they would have the spirit in their bodies to satisfy oh my God, what's the word? The Orisha deity. So like there's an influence in like spirits and beliefs and, you know, I don't know. I'm really passionate about the fact that like our culture is cool. And like, I wish that all culture is cool, and I wish that we talked more about it in a positive light.
No, of course. And it, damn.
you got me thinking, because you're right.
I wish
like,
that, I wish that growing up, I wasn't made feel like it didn't matter.
Yeah.
This is a personal thought, obviously. But.
No. This is real shit, though. I feel like in school, it all goes back to education. Mm-hmm. It was never encouraged. Like, I was never told, hey, you know, this is the history that I'm giving you here in class, but also, like, you know, you have a personal history that you should also, you know, be proud of and look at. Instead of being told, like, hey, you know, we have to champion, you know, the captains of industry. We have to champion the Carnegies and the Rothschilds and the Oppenheimers of the world, you know, and we're talking about these great
like the captains Steve Jobs. Industry. It's like you want to be like someone else. It's like, why can't I love being me and my culture?
There's nothing wrong with appreciating all those great men, all those people that laid down this foundation, blah, blah, blah. But like, it's like, yo, when 95% of the classroom is like Dominican, Puerto Rican, Colombian, it's like, you know, teach us that, but also, you know, champion us searching more information.
And I want to give a shout out to teachers that like encouraged that in the classroom.
That's a fact.
Sophomore or junior year of college, I had a teacher that she was an English teacher. And she made the classroom read. She was a white teacher, and she made the classroom read a book of like Dominican history in the classroom, because obviously she was reading the room, and she was in a Latino populated town.
She knew her environment. She played to her. Yep.
Yeah, she played to her environment. And so then we would have these conversations about how, you know, these are events that happened like not more than 20 years ago. In regards to like the dictator in Dominican Republic,
Trujillo.
Mm-hmm, Trujillo. And she was talking about that, and like white people were like, whoa, well, why didn't we hear about this before? And it was like, yeah, you know, why didn't you hear about this before?
Maybe I'm going crazy, or maybe I was talking to somebody about this, right? Or maybe it was you, but like, did you know, fun fact, that Trujillo wasn't really fully white? Like Trujillo was like low key light skin, and he used to put makeup on him to give himself the appearance.
Do you know that makeup was invented for men?
Was it?
And heels too.
Well, obviously, because you had dudes like Napoleon that are like 5'1". So it's like, yo, when you that short, and then your girl like 6'3".
Hey, no, but it was like for like, you know how like most like rich men would like go to court. And like speak with the king, and like they would have like government events. They would wear wigs and makeup and heels to look, because the paler and the taller your wigs were, like the more powerful you were, some stuff like that. And then somewhere along the line, then they start making women wear them. And I don't know what happened there, but
that is so fucking funny though. It's like you talk about the same men that are like the manly men now.
Yeah. And you know that pink was the color for men, and blue was the color, because blue was seen as delicate, and pink was a derivative of red, which means like being like virile and like manly and like passion. And somewhere on the line, like pink started being seen as the color of like gay people or like LGBTQ+.
So
then they were like, men just wore pink and wore it as a, like, in a feminine manner. Guess blue is the color for men now. I love how we completely derailed from Santeria, but it's just.
Not because it all ties back into it. It all comes back together. It's like, you know, it's all culture, man.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, fucking.
I think this is all for this episode. Thank you guys for listening. Go follow us on Instagram and Twitter at WTFLatinx.com. What am I saying?
Please do all that.
WTFLatinx. And we'll see you on the next one, guys.